Good evening.
Good evening.
It's good to see you all this evening. Please turn with me to Psalm 23. I need to turn to myself. And out of respect for the word of God, would you please stand to read Psalm 23. Warm welcome to our visitors. Good to see you. The word of God, let us hear it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for standing. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you again for the privilege of coming before you. And what a privilege it is. We have this throne of grace that we could come to. And we've come to obtain mercy and to find grace to help us in our time of need. Oh, meet our needs now, we pray. Come to us in the sweetness of your spirit, the power that we desperately need. Lord, to give holy energy to weary bodies. Lord, to give clarity to weary minds. Lord, help us, we pray. Come, strengthen us. Is our cry. Be with me and be with your people. Is our prayer. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus gave a graphic picture in Luke chapter 15. He gave a picture of a wandering sheep that had lost his way. If it's wandered, right, it's obvious it's lost its way. Indicating that sheep are prone to wander. The shepherd in Israel's world, if we could say in ancient Israel or in ancient time, the shepherd would count his sheep. We don't have, like we have normally in modern times, fenced in areas and things like that. No, shepherds stayed with the sheep. The shepherd, after calling and counting his sheep, in this picture that Jesus would give, noticed that one was missing. He immediately goes on what I'm calling a love search. A love search. It is a search for the one sheep. It lets us know that Jehovah, the great shepherd, to him, one sheep matters as much as 99. Did you hear what I just said? One sheep matters as much as 99. I'm going to leave the 99 and I'm going after the one. Once gathered unto the fold again, that loss, or he will not, if I may say, will not lose one of them. When this one is brought back into the fold, not only is there an annunciation, but there's also a celebration. Come, rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost. There is a celebration in heaven, but it also should be a reflective celebration on earth. We ought to celebrate when one is brought into the fold. Do we celebrate when one is brought into the fold? Thank you, Brother Victor. Saved my life. That picture of Jesus in Luke chapter 15, shepherd and sheep. So in our last message, we said that this passage has a heart-heating, mind-melting, and soul-stirring intimacy in it. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." If we just took the italicized verb out, it would just read, "The Lord, my shepherd." It sets forth a beautiful relationship of the shepherd and the sheep. Or we could say it this way, the sheep and the shepherd. The psalmist doesn't waste any time getting to his subject. Do you see it? It's in the first verse. He said, "All I'm saying to you is that Jehovah is my shepherd." That's my subject. The great Jehovah, the Lord of the covenant, the creator of heaven and earth, the sustainer of everything, the omnipotent one, the all-seeing one, is my shepherd. The benefactor of the psalm is the shepherd, but the beneficiary of the psalm is the sheep. Oh, I just love David describes the shepherd, how the shepherd indeed has invaded his life. Just let me say this. Notice something about verse 1. David is not ashamed, embarrassed to let anyone know that the Lord is his shepherd. I'm going to press that just a little bit further. David is not embarrassed. David is not ashamed to let anyone know, the Lord, that's my shepherd. Now, are we embarrassed? Are we ashamed to let people know that Jesus Christ is our shepherd? Not at all. Oh, I don't want to tell anybody, you know, I'm a Christian. I just, you know, live, don't say anything, and they'll figure it out. That's how it works. No, it doesn't work that way. Nope. Yeah, Jesus lived, but Jesus also spoke. Are we embarrassed in any way, shape, or form? I don't want people to know I'm a Christian. See, that signifies I belong to someone, the Christ of Christianity. Well, David is not embarrassed. David wants everyone to know. Everyone. And matter of fact, the Lord has left it for us for everyone to know that he is indeed David's shepherd and David owns him as such. That's right. Not only does the shepherd own the sheep, but the sheep owns the shepherd. David understands the nature, if I could say, the skillfulness of a shepherd. David understands that shepherding can be difficult. He understands that it takes skill. It takes stamina. It takes strength. Sheep can be difficult. Of course, there are no difficult sheep. Sheep here, right? Pastors are both under shepherd and sheep, because there's only really one shepherd, and that's Jesus Christ. It can be difficult. Sometimes we say sheep are not smart animals, actually, sheep. I want to say, that irregular noun. It should be an S on that word somewhere. Anyways, sheep are not smart creatures. Actually, on one hand, sheep are very intelligent. However, they're prone to wander. Sheep need leadership. Sheep need guidance. Sheep need protection. They have no protection other than the shepherd. They constantly need that. So David has identified, if this is David, that's what some say. They may be right. David has identified a shepherd as the Lord himself, the great Yahweh, the eternal and self-existent one, the self-sustained and self-sufficient one. And because this Lord is his shepherd, he says in verse 1, I don't want for anything. Notice, I shall not want. David looks toward the future. Because I have a shepherd that's actual. It's a fact. It's factual. I have a shepherd. He's mine. I won't want for anything. He understands by this that all provision is in God himself. Because God is self-sustained, right? Because God is self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything. Therefore, he can supply everything. By saying that the Lord is my shepherd, those who study ancient documentation and so forth would say that other gods and goddesses were known as shepherds. Now, let that sink in for a moment. Other gods and goddesses were called shepherds. So David is making a clear distinction. Dagon is not my shepherd. Baal is not my shepherd. Milcom is not my shepherd. Moloch is not my shepherd. Jehovah, that's my shepherd. Amen. He's making a distinction. He's being crystal clear. And that's why he's not embarrassed. Because he knows Dagon doesn't exist. He knows Milcom doesn't exist. He knows Moloch doesn't exist. He knows Baal doesn't exist. So I have a living shepherd, a real shepherd. I don't have one of those shepherds that's confined to a certain locale. You know, Baal is right here. You have to carry him wherever he needs to go, or you have to go to him. But the God I am talking about is everywhere. He's my shepherd. The fact that David calls him shepherd. David is acknowledging that he is needy. Let me see if I can put that a different way. The fact that David calls Jehovah his shepherd. David is acknowledging that he needs guidance. He needs leadership. He needs protection. And he needs provision. He is acknowledging that he's spiritually needy. He's also acknowledging that he's physically needy. He needs both. I know we have that what we like to say, give us souls. But man, you can't have souls without bodies. Are you with me? Jesus ministered a soul, but he also ministered the bodies. You got to have the whole person. We kind of divide the person up. We're just going after that spiritual aspect. Jesus did that, but he also ministered to the physical as well. David understands physical as well as spiritual, theological as well as anthropological, if you will. Big $100 word. Has to do with human beings and their behavior. And everything that makes us human. He understands that. He has spiritual needs. When the enemy shows up, he has physical needs. He has both body and soul. And so by acknowledging that Jehovah is his shepherd, he's acknowledging that he is needy. Needy. He's not self-sufficient. He's not self-sustained. He's not, you ready? Independent. He is independent. And I understand, I know you understand what people mean when they say that, but guess what? In reality, no one is independent. No one. No one. Except God. If you have a job, you are dependent upon that job. If you have children, the children are dependent upon parents. There's no such thing as independence. Well, we are an independent nation. Really? Let God start drawing some things back and see how independent we are. There's no such thing. Everyone, whether we acknowledge it or not, we are dependent upon God. Whether we acknowledge it or not, we are. Every single day. So because God is a shepherd, and because David is constantly needy, therefore God is constantly supplying. I love it. Because I'm constantly needy, God constantly supplies. And guess what? Because he constantly supplies, I will never empty his supply chest. So with that being said, we want to come to the believer's shepherd as provider. The believer's shepherd as provider. David expands on what he says in verse 1. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." I really like to just stay there. That's so beautiful. The Lord is my shepherd. It's so sweet with those words. He is my shepherd. Here's a shepherd saying he's my shepherd. I'm a shepherd needing shepherding. I shall not want, or I shall not lack. I lack nothing, 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 nothing. It reminds me of what Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought. Man, your Father knows what things you have, what? Not want of, need of. Need of. Bless God, God's name, he does give us some things we want, right? But he makes sure we have everything we need. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's our first thought. Well, actually, the first thing is just one point, the shepherd's provision for the sheep. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I want to stop right there for a moment. So after stating that the great Jehovah is his actual, factual shepherd, He's not saying, I hope Jehovah is my shepherd. Maybe, or he might be my shepherd. No, David is not doing anything like that. David is absolutely convinced that God himself is a shepherd. Amen. He's convinced, Amen. Very convinced. There's no maybe in this. It's actual and factual. Further, the Lord God is his continual shepherd. In other words, he's not missing any days from shepherding David. It's continual, consistent, or constantly, if you want. And then David goes on to say, but he's my personal shepherd, as we said last time. Actual, continual, personal. We see that in the word my. He's my shepherd. I don't know about you, but he said he's my shepherd. He's mine. It's not selfish. It's just intimate. It's real. He's my personal shepherd. And then he announced, I lack nothing. In other words, he's saying right here, as he expands, my complete satisfaction. Listen carefully. My complete satisfaction is in the shepherd. My complete satisfaction. If you're married, your complete satisfaction can't be in your spouse. Not your complete satisfaction. You're going to find that to be a failure sooner or later. I'm not saying your spouse is a failure. I'm saying our complete satisfaction has to be in God himself, because our spouses are going to come up short. But God never will. His satisfaction, complete satisfaction, is in his shepherd. He understands that everything that he needs or will need is found in this caregiver, his shepherd. The reason being, as I said earlier, I hope you didn't miss it, is because the shepherd is all sufficient. All sufficient, self-sufficient. The shepherd doesn't need food. That's hard for us to imagine. The shepherd doesn't need food. He doesn't need to exercise. He doesn't need rest. He doesn't need anything. He needs nothing to build him up. He needs nothing to improve him as a shepherd. He needs nothing to make him better. Since there's nothing to make him better, he can't even get worse. What a shepherd to have. One who doesn't need everything, one who actually has everything and can give us exactly what we need. What a shepherd. He lacks nothing. So David goes on to say what he means by lacks nothing. He actually says, let me tell you what he's done for me. He lets us know a few things. The first thing he lets us know in verse 2 is that the shepherd provides rest. It's right there in the text. He maketh me to lie down. I won't forgive the children the demonstration of it. I'm so happy. The word literally means to stretch out. The shepherd provides rest. Stretch out. Let me say this. Listen carefully. It's unspiritual not to rest. You hear what I just said? The text said the shepherd gives rest. It's in your Bible. Well, you know, I stayed up 24 hours, man. That's not spiritual about that. The shepherd gives rest. He has to make sure the sheep rest. Why stay up all night when God is up all night? I can go to sleep because he's up. He's the shepherd. The sheep need to lie down. Oh, I'm preaching to me, y'all. I had to tell my wife. I said, sweetheart, I'm sorry. No more staying up reading news articles. I got to go to sleep. He gives his beloved sleep. This form of rest also signifies security, safety. Stick with me. You and I have bodies, and our bodies don't function like God's. Now, I understand God doesn't have a, quote, body, but understand how I'm using it. Anthropomorphic type language, right? Our bodies don't function like God. He doesn't need rest, but we do. Some of you may be weary right now. I won't, in the words of the old preacher, I won't hold you long. But he gives rest because we need it. We need it. And David is so satisfied. David is so secured in his shepherd. David said, because I'm satisfied, because I'm secured, because I'm safe, because of who my shepherd is, I can lie down and rest. He says this right here. This is in the Psalms. Well, this is not Psalms. This is my paraphrase. I can lie down and not worry about a thing. I didn't need to worry about what's going to happen to the United States. I can pray for the United States, but that's pretty much all I could do. And serve my country and witness in my country, but I can't go further than that. I need to lie down because the shepherd is wide awake. God doesn't walk around in bedroom shoes. He doesn't have the sheets pulled back so he can tuck himself in bed. He's wide awake. so I can go to sleep. He said, I can lie down, not worry about a thing. Listen to this. Listen to what God said, children of Israel. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down. And none shall make you afraid. See, when you're secure, when you're safe, you can lie down. He said, you can lie down and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. Did you hear what God just said to the children of Israel? I will lie down. Lie down. Because I'm going to give peace, your physical welfare will be taken care of because I'm the shepherd on watch. Oh, man. You should sleep good tonight. I hope you will. Lie down. Listen when he said this ready. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Look at the combination. Seems like fear keeps people up all night. Thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. It's in your Bible. That's what we need to do. Why? Because we have a shepherd that's all-sufficient, self-sustained, and never sleeps. He goes on, just a few more for you. I will feed my flock, and I will call, by the way, that last reference was Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down. Saith the Lord God, Ezekiel 34:15. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to cause them to lie down. I think sometimes when when we are afraid, it's because we have forgotten that place of security. God himself. Do we still believe God has all power or do we think he has partial power? Do we think the devil has taken over heaven? The devil has actually overthrown God. Jesus is not on the throne, and the Holy Spirit is not who he is. Do we think that? The psalmist says this in chapter 4. I will both lay me down. You hear the language? I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only maketh me to dwell in safety. He is so sure. He is so certain. His intimacy, his relation with God is so fixed. He said, listen, I am not worried about a thing. I'm going to sleep. I'm not saying there's not time. You don't fear. David had to shake himself from that too. He said, when I'm fearful, when my soul is overwhelmed, but he goes back to the same place, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Straight back to God. Right back to God. We can't just fear and start pulling our hair out. Rest then is an essential part, listen, of our spiritual health. As well as our physical health. Rest. What good is it for me to stay up all night on Saturday, come to service on Sunday, and offer God a weary, burnout worship? A worn out body because I didn't rest. There's nothing spiritual about that. Nothing. We should want to serve God as fresh as we can. Amen. With everything we have. Not weariness. Let's not give our best to other things and give the least to God. No. Our best energy, when we are most energetic, should be offered up to the Lord. We need essentially three things to be in good shape physically: proper eating, proper exercising, proper resting. Essentially those three things. If we lack one of those things, we're in bad shape. Well, at least we're not in the shape we should be in. You can eat healthy and still not rest and exercise. You're still not in good shape. Believe me. I remember when I used to run up on the basketball court all day long. They said, boy, where he got that energy from? If I do it right now, I need an oxygen tank. I can't do it. I'm not even in shape for it. Like I said, if we lack one of these things, let me just put it this way. If we lack one of these things, we can still function, but we won't be in the best of shape. Like we need the same three elements. We need this. Maybe I say this. We need the same three elements spiritually if we're going to be in good shape. We need proper eating, the word of God. Amen. It has to be our meat and our drink. It has to be our sustenance for the soul. The taste buds should be wet for the nutrients of the word of God. We ought to come to the banquet table. Can I say it this way? We ought to come to the banquet table of the word of God and be greedy.
Yes.
If there is a time when we will not be accused of being gluttons, is when we come to the word of God. Come and be greedy. Eat up. It is a banquet at the table of the word of the Lord. I don't think God has ever accused anyone of overeating. Not from the word. You eating too much. That has never happened. Maybe you've eaten too little, but not too much. The shepherd provides rest, and it gives us security at the same time. I like this about David because this is making me to lie down. As I said, it leads to security. It leads to safety. David is acknowledging that my security, my safety is not in the number of men I have in my army. It's not in the fortified walls of Jerusalem. It's not in my prowess, my military prowess as a king. And that's not where my safety and my security lies. It's in my shepherd. It's right there in the shepherd. Everything is in him. It's not in me. I love it. I love it. It's not how good I could wield the sword. That's not where my safety lies. It's not in my training as a shepherd. That's not where my safety lies. My safety is in the shepherd himself. This is kind of humbling in a sense, isn't it? Because we have to come to the place where we're asking ourselves the same question. Where does our safety lie? It's not in the amount of money you have in your bank account. It's not in the alarm system on your house. It's not the fact that you have the windows and the doors locked. Your safety doesn't lie in the fact that you may have a piece of iron tucked under your mattress or wherever, your nightstand. Your safety doesn't lie in any of those things. Your safety has to be in the Lord himself. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Unless the Lord keeps the city, they are watching in vain. Amen. Your safety must be in the great Jehovah. Amen. The saying is still right. You can prepare the horse for battle, but safety only comes from the Lord. It doesn't matter of our military power. We can chant and we can jump. We got the best military in the world. Our safety doesn't lie in that. our safety have to be in Jehovah. God himself, and only God himself, shall be our safety. So David says, I'm resting. I am resting because I have a resting place. You know the psalm, right? The hymn, my soul has found a resting place. It's in the great God of heaven and earth. He understands that a good shepherd cares for his sheep, that a good shepherd knows his sheep. And you also understand that a good shepherd put his life on the line for the sheep. David knows that. So what David is saying to us is not accidental. David doesn't believe in that stuff. I know we say some accident. Accidents are not accidental, by the way. It's not accidental. It's not coincidental. It's providential and it's beneficial. Amen. He understands that. And he said, this Lord is my shepherd. Notice he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I love it. It's fresh grass. There's a freshness to it. The shepherd had to always find the feeding place and the best feeding place for the sheep. He said, listen, he didn't just give me any place. I can lie down secure and he leads me. He takes me to freshness. Green pastures. But something about this, though, notice something. He didn't say he takes me to a green pasture. You got a plural in your Bible. Pastors. He said, listen, he already has everything set up. He has pastors from one to another because he's the shepherd. I'm safe in him. I'm secure in him. I shall not want. He provides everything. He has pastors. What's interesting about the shepherd is that he's the only shepherd. I've said this before a couple of Sundays ago, I think. He's the only shepherd that could be everywhere without traveling. God speaks in terms sometimes so we can understand it as human beings and say, and the Lord moved, and the Lord went here, and the Lord, how could he go here and there if he's everywhere one time? He speaks in language where we can understand. God doesn't have to move anywhere because God is everywhere. A little boy asked me the other day, Jaden, 4-year-old. He said, Daddy, that was like 2 days ago, I think. Daddy, can God see through this roof? I said, man, I said, son, that's a good question. God can see through everything. And I stood up by the wall. I said, you see this wall here? I cannot see through it. I know what's on the other side, I think. I said, I can't see through it, period. It's not transparent. I can't. But God can see through all of this stuff. Nothing is hid from God. Maybe we should think about that when we reach our hand for the forbidden fruit. Amen. That God could see everything. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. Sometimes we just lose sight of that. We just don't think that. It's like a friend of mine who went over to another country, and he had someone with him, and the person said, man, let's live it up. Let's live it up, man. We're on the other side of the world. No one will ever know. He said, are you crazy? God's over here. God is everywhere. We got to understand that. He's everywhere. Oh, Lord, help us to believe it. He's the only shepherd. David says, I'm secure no matter where I go. Listen, no matter where I go, the Lord is there. I can't outrun him, outfly him, outdodge him, outwalk him or anything like that. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. And he's my shepherd. Not only so, think about this for a moment. Because I shall not want anything, David says, and because he causes me to lie down, he knows exactly what I need. Are you still with me? He knows what I need. We've said it. I know I've said it. Man, it's not enough hours in a day. That's an insult to God. Did you know that? You know that's an insult to God? He gave 24 hours. The one that knows everything. You think he knows if 24 hours is not enough or not? Of course he does. I gave you 24 hours. What did you do with that 24 hours? How did you manage it? I gave it to you. I gave you enough time. Oh, yeah, there's enough hours. There's plenty of hours. We just have to use it best as we can. We don't always do a good job, and the Lord knows that. That's why we need a shepherd. That's why we need guidance. He knows everything about us. He knows what we need, when we need it, and how to get it to us. He knows it, and he does it. I said earlier, and I say it again, the psalmist never mentions the word sheep, but it's implied by using the word shepherd. The shepherd is constantly working in the sheep's, apostrophe S, situation, circumstance, because he's a good shepherd. And because he has the shepherd, the sheep should not fear anything as long as the shepherd is close by. Shouldn't fear anything. He said he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Notice the second portion, and we won't finish, but that's all right. Notice the second portion. We'll be back, Lord willing, next week. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Not only does he cause me to lie down where I'm safe, I need to rest in him, but I need rest as well physically, but he leads me beside the still waters. Notice the shepherd is doing it all. He's doing it all. He leads me, or he even guides me beside the still water. Not only do I have grass pastures to fill me, but I also have something to quench me. Still waters. Now, why still waters? Well, because sheep has this big thing on them children called wool. Running waters, fast-moving waters, are dangerous. Stick with me. Sheep have been known to fall in fast running water. And because when the wool is wet, it's hard for them to swim. Are you still with me? In other words, sheep are subject to danger without a shepherd. It could be difficult, detrimental, life-threatening to be near fast moving water. So a wise shepherd would lead the sheep to still water. The still water. Nice and calm. You know why? Because the shepherd knows exactly what the sheep needs. And that's what God does for folks like you and me. He knows, listen, you got some sense, but you don't have enough sense to stay away from that fast running water. So I have to lead you in a different direction for your own good. He does that all the time. More than we realize. If he just, you know, pulled back the veil and just showed us all the times he's protected us, man, we would drop down and we would worship all day long. Amen. He leads them by the still water. It should cause us to praise that God, the great shepherd, provides at every level. Amen. Every level. We should bow down in praise. But let me say this. Though God does not need our worship, he wants our worship. He wants it. He doesn't need it because he's worship itself. He's a walking praise. He's a living song. Doesn't need it. But he wants it. That should be humbling that this shepherd right here would want not only care for us, but also want us. Isn't that humbling? He wants to be our shepherd. Problem is, not everyone wants a shepherd. He wants to be our shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He wants to be it. God, who does not need us, actually wants us, is amazing in and of itself. Maybe he could say it like this: I don't need you, but I want you. Why would he want us? Job said, we're just houses of clay. Paul said, we're earthen vessels, crackpots. Yeah. You know, my wife taught me a humbling and life-changing lesson. We have two porcelain green cups, pretty thick, in the house that we eat soup out of. And one of them has a big crack in the inside and is chipped at the top. And I said, I'm throwing this away. She said, oh, wait. I said, what? I said, I'm throwing this away. I said, sweetheart, it's cracked in the inside. It's got a big chip on the inside at the top. Bacteria could get all in this stuff here. No, I'm throwing this thing away. She said, wait. She said, even though it's cracked and it's chipped, it still can be used. My friends, listen. Paul said, we have a treasure in earthen vessels. We're crackpots. God said, even though it's cracked and it chipped, you still can be used. I don't need you, but I want you. And that's what he does, because he's the shepherd who cares for the sheep. We would ask the question, what would a God who is absolutely pristine want with us? He wants fellowship with us, and he wants to use us. Amen. That's what he wants. And that's what he does. Well, he calls us to lie down in green pastures. Or you take up a little more. Is the clock right? Oh, man. Edit that part. We'll take up another part next week when he restoreth my soul and leadeth me in the path of righteousness. Notice, not for your sake, but for his name's sake. Everything directs to the glory and praise of the shepherd. Oh, my friends, can you see it? Jesus said he's the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And Jesus did give his life on Calvary. The blood came streaming down. Why? So sheep could be added to the fold. So we could have a shepherd. Do you want him? Do you have him? Can you say like David? I want you to say like David. The Lord is my shepherd. I want you to say. I want you to be able to say like Fanny Crosby. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. He's the shepherd that cares for the sheep. We want him to be your song. We want him to be your everything. We want you to sing his praise. We want you to say like David, listen, because he's my shepherd, I shall not want for anything because he has everything. There's nothing this shepherd would keep from you. This shepherd is faithful. This shepherd is glorious. This shepherd is lovely. This shepherd is kind. This shepherd is tender. This shepherd is patient. He knows the thinking of a sheep. The shepherd himself died like a sheep. He became as a sheep, led to the slaughter, so that sheep, other sheep, can have him as the shepherd. May the Lord help us and strengthen us to find all of our satisfaction, all of our joy, all of our praise, all of our adoration, all of our excitement in this shepherd who provides. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you again for the great shepherd of the sheep. We thank you for the preciousness of the great Jehovah. And we thank you for Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, help us to walk with him, to be like him, to rejoice in him. And Lord, help us to live for him by the power of your Spirit. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us stand. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Amen.
God be with you till we meet again.